Well, I wonder what your week has been like. Average week, memorable, special. When the Daily Mail featured a photo of me alongside Jeremy Corbyn this week, I thought I was being nominated to run as his deputy leader of the Labour Party till I read the caption. And it took me back to the scriptures and the reminder to not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Then on Wednesday, Joanne and I became grandparents for the first time. Louise, who lives in Hong Kong, gave birth to a little baby boy, Toby. And we should be going up on Friday, and we'll be spending 2 weeks in Hong Kong with them as a family. And again, reminded me, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And there have been many this week. Thursday, I visited the headquarters of Barnabas Fund down in Wiltshire to meet some of their leaders and discuss setting up a new charity to support human rights in countries where Christians are persecuted or are in a minority. You may know that Barnabas Fund works with the persecuted church in over 60 countries, but we believe there is a place for a new charity. It's going to be called the Peacemaker Trust, and it's going to be helping to focus on troubled spots of the world and bringing relief and support, particularly to those of the Christian faith. Barnabas are helping to set up the charity. We have two archbishops already as patrons. We have three bishops, some politicians, academics, and lawyers who've agreed to be on the Council of Reference. And I look forward to sharing more about that with you in the weeks to come. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then tomorrow, I have my annual appraisal with Bishop Andrew in Guildford. It's the first time I've had one in 4 years. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And if you want to know what my requests are, I'll tell you afterwards. I've shared you something of my week. What's yours been like? Has it been an anxious week? Any sleepless nights? Well, we're near the end of our series of studies in Philippians, and we're going to discover how to sleep peacefully. How to sleep peacefully. Because we're going to discover that there is no greater antidote to worry than a conversation with God. Conversation with God. Please turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, and our title is Guarding Your Minds from Anxiety. Philippians chapter 4. First, I'd like us to observe the reason for praying regularly. Secondly, the rhythm to praying regularly. And then thirdly, the results of praying regularly. Let's read the paragraph together. Let's say the words together. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. God of peace indeed will be with you. But the first observation we can make is the reason for praying regularly. Why should we pray regularly? Well, verse 6 tells us, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, pray. In everything, pray. Nothing is excluded. Everything, every situation, every circumstance, talk to God about it. You know, the word anxiety means to be pulled in different directions. That's what anxiety means. Worry is being pulled in different directions. What are some of the things that pull you in different directions? people's expectations, our own expectations, our hopes, our fears. They can all pull us in different directions. Worry literally pulls us apart. You know, the old English word from which we get the English word worry is even more graphic. Do you know what it means? It means to strangulate. That's what worry does. It strangulates us. To strangle or to throttle. Isn't that how you feel when you're worried? Paralyzed. Paralyzed. Worry has definite physiological consequences. It gives me headaches, neck pains, ulcers, maybe not. Indigestion. It can cause nausea. Even our coordination is affected. But when Paul says don't worry about anything, he literally means everything. Even 1% of worry is worry. Don't worry about anything. Why? Because worry is forbidden. It's forbidden because from a spiritual point of view, worry is the result of wrong thinking or wrong feelings. When we're worrying, what are we saying? We're saying, God, you're not big enough to handle with this one, so I'm going to help you out. You're not big enough. Is there anything God can't handle? But it's not good enough just to tell yourself, stop worrying, Stephen. It doesn't work. It doesn't even help you to tell someone else stop worrying either. It's focusing on the worry. And it's just being stretched in more ways. That kind of reasoning will never catch the thief that's robbed our joy. Because worry is an inside job. It takes more than good intentions or a positive mental attitude to overcome it. The antidote, the only antidote, is prayer. Conversational prayer. Spontaneous prayer. Regular prayer. And if anyone had a reason to worry, it was Paul. Notice what it says in verses 2 and 3. I plead with Evodia, I plead with Syntyche to be the same mind as the Lord. And yes, I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they've contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. In code, what's Paul saying? He's saying he has two lady workers. They are mature believers. They're in the church. And they're not agreeing on something. They're not agreeing on something, and it's causing tension in the church. It's causing disagreement. It's impacting the gospel work. And so Paul has to plead with them to be of the same mind as the Lord. See, even within the church, even among leaders, you'll find tension or disagreement leads to worry. On top of that, he didn't know if he was going to live long enough to see them anyway. He had every reason to worry. And if you think about it, so do you and I. You know, a definition of a pessimist. Definition of a pessimist is an optimist with information. The more information you have, the more you're going to worry, right? If we're to conquer worry and experience a secure mind, we must pray. Pray regularly. The reason for praying regularly. Secondly, notice the rhythm to praying regularly. How should we pray? Well, Paul uses three different words to describe the variety and the rhythm of prayer. And the first is adoration. Adoration. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Rejoice. Adore the one you worship. Adore the one you worship. Prayer must begin with adoration for who God is. It forces us to realize that this world is about His purposes and His agenda. You know, a while ago I was in a local school and I noticed that the children addressed the head teacher with a very unusual word. They called him Sir. It's gone out of fashion, hasn't it? It shows respect. It also reminds them who they're talking to. Whenever we find ourselves worrying, the first action needs to be to adore our Creator, our Sustainer, King of the universe. Adoration dwells on the greatness, the majesty, the power, the glory of God. Because when we're worrying, we've forgot those things. We've forgotten that we're related to the one who was big enough to solve any problem. So instead of rushing into his presence with our shopping list of requests, the first step is to calmly and with deep reverence adore him. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. But then secondly, petition. It's then, after we have adored him, that we can rightly and appropriately bring to him whatever it is that's causing us worry. And here, there is no place for half-hearted or general prayers. In every situation, says Paul, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. What are you asking for? You know, it's helpful to have that question in your mind when you pray. It avoids prayer becoming monotonous. What was the most frequent question Jesus asked people? What was it? What do you want me to do for you? He knew what they needed, but he wanted them to acknowledge their request. And he usually gave them far, far more than they were asking for. In your outline is a simple chart that I've used for many years. It helps me avoid becoming monotonous in my prayer. It helps me to be creative in daily intercession. You can adapt it, you can print it, you can improve on it. You can use it as a bookmark in your Bible. We use the church family directory in our prayers as a staff team. We try and remember to pray for you by name one page a day. It's a simple but effective method to be specific in our petitions. The heart of prayer is adoration, petition, and thirdly, thanksgiving. Our Heavenly Father enjoys hearing us say thank you. It's a sign of our trust. It's a sign of our appreciation. Because we so easily forget his provision, we worry about his provision in the future. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. It's thanksgiving for what he has provided, and it's thanksgiving in faith that he will provide. That's faith. Faith is trusting God to provide for our needs. Three dimensions to the rhythm of praying: adoration, petition, and thanksgiving. We've looked at the reason for praying regularly, we've looked at the rhythm for praying regularly, and lastly, the result of praying regularly. What are the results? The results of verse 7. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Not may, will guard. Will guard. This is the consequence of praying regularly. This is our motivation for praying regularly, because instead of anxiety, we experience victory. Instead of panic, we experience peace. Instead of feeling throttled, torn in different directions, we experience integration. Our heart, our mind, our will, together. And that word guard is a military term. It describes a garrison of soldiers. God will literally guard your hearts and your minds with his peace. I've said before, the most frequent prayer a Jewish child prayed was, "Into your hands I commend my spirit." Exactly the words of Jesus on the cross. His last words, he was going to sleep. He was placing his life in his Father's hands. See, the secret isn't prayer. I don't like that phrase, the power of prayer. You won't find it in the Bible, I don't think. We experience the power of God when we pray, and we experience the peace of God when we pray, because we encounter the presence of God when we pray. You know, we have problems when we try and multitask. I can remember one of our children, I can't remember which one it was, would be talking and they would touch my face and turn my face so I'm looking straight into their eyes, because they knew if I'm looking over there, I'm not listening. Isn't that true? We can't multitask in prayer, but God is always listening. He is always listening. We take it for granted that we can pray, and we can pray openly in Britain. But as I hinted earlier, Christians in many, many other countries are liable to be arrested and imprisoned if they are caught praying together. Perhaps they, more than we, can identify with the prophet Daniel, who found peace through prayer. When King Darius announced that his subject should only pray before a statue of himself, what did Daniel do? He had every reason to be anxious, but instead, what did he do? The day he learnt that the decree had been published, he went to his home, to his upstairs room, where the windows opened toward Jerusalem, and three times a day he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. Just as he'd done before. The king's edict made absolutely no difference to his prayer routine. The result was peace. The result was peace. A little bit later, it says that when Daniel was sleeping peacefully, tucked up in a soft, warm bed of lions, the king in his palace of luxury couldn't sleep. He couldn't sleep. Daniel did. So if you can't sleep tonight, remember Daniel's example, remember Paul's model, the reason for praying regularly, to overcome our anxiety, the rhythm to praying regularly, creative diversity in our prayers. And the consequence of praying regularly is victory. Victory. Let's pray together. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, tonight, tomorrow, and every day. Amen.